Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Proverbs, and we're in chapter 17. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
You're just doing what God said to do. He said, do not forsake the assembly. Wait a minute, there's a word on it? Yeah, don't forsake the assembly. And yet people have. And they've got to get somebody else to make it good. He says, whoso mocketh the poor reproaches the poor's maker. So you're not just messing with him, you're messing with me. That's like your children. Somebody messing with your children in the backyard of your house. They're about six or eight. Somebody messing with them. And you'd be, I'm going to stand down for that. It says, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. This is the person who's taken the wrong road. He says in verse 6, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. The real poor in spirit, their father is God. This is true on the horizontal level too, don't get me wrong, but it goes beyond that, because this passage keeps going in this directive. And he's using that visceral, understandable thing. When children are little, they want their dads to see them. They want them to see them hit the ball. They want to see them ride the bike. Well, you know, when you get older, that's not who you're looking for. And in fact, you get around your dad now, if he's still living, you know, you still feel like a kid for a minute. And that's true. We still are taken right back to when we were sitting across from him at home at the dinner table. Put you right back on your heels. Like, well, wait a minute. No, I'm an adult now. You got to kind of get yourself together and regroup. But the fact is that our fathers were our glory at one time. My dad's bigger than your dad or stronger than your dad. My dad can beat up your dad. Those were the little things that were said. But put that aside, because it is a principle. These are all principles. But this principle has double impact, because he's going to use it again in a minute. He says, excellent speech becometh not a fool. In other words, it's unbecoming of a fool. Excellent speech. Now, the word excellent literally means remainder, what's left over, the rest. Okay, so what really is being said here is not that he's speaking eloquently. Some translations like that word. But what it's really saying is things like this. Timothy said, there are those who are desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. They're going beyond what they know. Okay, they're saying things they don't even know. Second Peter says that there are those foolish people who take the epistles of Paul and they wrestle the scriptures to their own destruction. You see, excellent speech, the beyond the basics speech is how I would take it, because the word means the rest of the speech. They take their speech into the marketplace of ideas. And he says it's unbecoming of a fool. It's weird to hear a fool talking about church and God, isn't it? You hear them, right? You hear them. Sometimes you'll hear them. And then it says in Proverbs 17:4, he talked about the wicked doer, giveth heed to false lips, and a liar give an ear to a naughty tongue. Well, what you see him say at the end of this verse is he says, excellent speech is unbecoming of a fool. Much less are lying lips becoming of a prince. Remember what Lemuel said? It's not for kings. It's not for kings. This is kind of one of those. But notice what he did. He's talking to his proteges, his children, really. And you say, you're supposed to be a prince. You shouldn't be telling lies and lying lips, right? You shouldn't be that. You shouldn't be a fool who's going beyond your station and saying things you don't know, wrestling words to your own destruction. And so he's basically talking to them about what they might be getting themselves mixed up in. Verse 8 talks about a gift. It means a bribe. Is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. A bribe is like a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it, whithersoever it turneth, it prospers. So he's looking for somebody to validate his position of walking away from the church. Now he's got somebody saying, well, I can tell you what you can have, man. Let's go party. Let's go. You don't need that. That's all bunk anyway, right? Whatever bunk is. Ah, bunk. But some people would say, it's all bunk anyway. You've heard things like that. Let's go. You didn't need God. You're your own God. You're a patriot now. It's the new religion, is being a patriot, right? You know, God's for us. God wins. Well, here he says, excellent speech, not for a fool. Lying lips, not for a prince. He says, a gift That person can use that and use it. It says wherever he turns it, it prospers because he's soliciting you just like the devil did Jesus. Cast yourself from this tower. Turn that bread to stone. Bow down and worship him and give you all the glory of all the kingdoms. Right? The devil's out there and he's got a solicitation. He's got a bribe. And he will give it to the person who's away from the fold longing. He'll walk him right up to the edge of destruction. The Bible says in verse 9, he that covereth the transgression seeks love. You know what that means? That means when you look at the church and you see warts and all, and you say, you know what, I'm not going to worry about that. Because bottom line is, it doesn't have to be scheming. It can be some little nuance. I watched a guy, but he was going up the steps once in the midst of a church that was fairly large, and he tripped. And he kind of looked at the people because they laughed. Looked at him a little mean. And I thought, you know, I've raised my eyebrows. Whoa. But the point is that I'm not going to let that bother me. I've seen preachers mess up in a certain passage that, you know, I know that's not what that means, and I'm sure I've done that myself. And somebody who's sitting there, I can't go there anymore. He doesn't believe that. He can't possibly believe that. My point is that this is what you do. You take that, right? You say, you know what? Nobody's perfect. Let's just see what we got here. Is God in it? Is Spirit there? Is He working in our midst? Yes. And then back. That's what we're looking for. But a person who's operating without a lot of stature in their spiritual life, well, they can have a problem. And so he's teaching them as he goes. He says, he that covers a transgression seeketh love. But he that repeats a matter separates friends. Now you're separating God from his people. This person who really liked you. You're not going anymore. Where'd you go? Well, I'm not really in right now. I'm just taking a break from church. Oh, yeah. Me too. Me too. I'm going to too. Separating. See, this can happen, right? Especially back in the day when people were a lot more influential in each other's lives. But certainly, it's all the time. Even the person who might be thinking about going to church because the world's falling apart. They're thinking about going to church, but you don't go to church. You're a believer. You've made up your mind. It doesn't matter. You don't have to. And it's like, wait a minute. You're separating friends, intimates. He says, a reproof entereth more, in verse 10, into a wise man, more than 100 stripes into a fool. An evil man seeketh only rebellion, in verse 11. And so you see him saying, I want you to wake up. I want you to come back into the fold. Or if you're flirting with that, come back into the fold. He says, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. Now we're seeing it, right? Because that's what it is, isn't it? It wasn't about the church. It was about their relationship with God. We don't want to be told what to do. Psalm 2, right? It says, why do the heathen rage and the nations imagine a vain thing? We're going to cast off their cords. We don't want anybody telling us what to do. We're going to get us a Unitarian viewpoint. Everybody's going to be saved. Universalism and Unitarian. We got one thing we believe in, and it's really kind of nothing to do with God at all or whatever. We're going to make our own rules up. We're going to heap to ourselves teachers. The Bible says an evil man seeks only rebellion. And you remember what happened there, right? The Bible says in 1 Samuel 15 that Samuel had come and Saul had offered up his own sacrifice. He says, listen, God doesn't have as great delight in sacrifices and offerings as he does in obedience. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Why? Because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. If we take a walk, it's because we really weren't in there anyway, okay? But if we're willing to do that on some minor issue, he says, stubbornness is iniquity and in idolatry. He says, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you. And he didn't stop there. He says, he has rejected you from being king. Think about that. So look what it says in the verse. An evil man seeks rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger will be sent against him. That's history for them. That's recent history. This is Solomon, David, Saul. Okay? The Bible says in 1 Samuel 16, that was 15 where he was dressed down by Samuel, but in 16 and verse 14, it says, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Wow. So if you're going to walk away, just be ready to have a little static if you're truly born again. By the way, that's the mark of a believer. It's not that you endure to the end. It's that you're chastened by the Lord as you go along periodically. He brings a little pressure to bear and works in your life. Aren't you glad he's there? David said it this way, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
That means the one that he protects them with and the one he punishes them with when they get out of line. Verse 12, it says, let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. And specifically, this fool. Because this fool is worse than a bear robbed of her whelps. Because if he can destroy your soul, he can send you to hell. He's telling you the church doesn't matter. He's telling you righteousness in God is not true and not needed. And he's not trying to smooth over this mess. Even if they had to bring him into their own home and show him Jesus, right? Can that happen? Yeah. You're in a place somewhere and there's no church. You can bring him into your home. Have a little Bible study with him. They might get saved. And then you got somebody to disciple. And now you're doing church in your house. And that sounds a little bit what? New Testament. Okay, it sounds a little bit New Testament, doesn't it? They went everywhere preaching the gospel. Aquila and Priscilla, hey, this guy's a preacher, but he doesn't know his theology. Hey, come on over. We'll have some tea and some donuts. Anyway, let a person meet a bear robbed. Then look at verse 13. It says, whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. Do you know what God did? He gave us this wonderful world. He gave us creation, he gave us a conscience, and he gave us his commandments. And even if somebody is in the way of those commandments, whether it's Romanism now, it's all pageantry and pomp and circumstance, that's old news. You don't have to stay in there. Get out of there, find a Bible, start reading it, because it's not in Latin anymore. No excuses. And now you can read it for yourself. Find out, right? You get your Bible. Start reading it. God will bring somebody your way. It'll answer your questions. I found it interesting that here I am, a pastor, working in some of these job sites. And I'm with one or two people. And I'm thinking, and I've actually said it to one or two. I've said, you know, you have a pastor right here. I mean, you have any questions about God? And very rarely do they. And so if I prompt something, we'll have a conversation. But wouldn't it have been great when you were lost and you were just thinking about going and somebody's sitting there and you're like, man, this guy knows the Bible. I'm going to talk to him because he might be able to answer my question. And I just ask him, do you have any questions? Do you ever thought big thoughts about God? And as a believer, you ought to be able to answer some questions, obviously, as the time goes on, even more. Because once you get challenged on one, didn't know it, you're going to go study it and you'll be better prepared next time. That's how it works. Verse 14, it says, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. And that does mean what it sounds like. Okay, it says, therefore, leave off contention before it's meddled with. In other words, what he's telling his readers or his listeners is he's saying, listen, you've got something against God. You've got a problem with God. That's what your problem is. It's not about that. It's about you. You've got something going on. And the moment that you take the bad road, you're going to start pouring out on God and giving God the lie. You're going to tell that person things about God that you're going to be ashamed of one day. You see, we all want to justify ourselves. And if we are not in church, we're going to justify ourselves if we know we should be. Well, I used to go to church. I don't go anymore. Well, why not? Well, we were Catholic. Okay, well, that's, I understand that. You need to find a good church, though, because God says, you know, he wants you to be there so you can learn and grow. And you walk him off the ledge. He says, therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. And the idea of meddling with it has the idea of being laid bare. Till your heart be laid bare in front of somebody else. If you say something out loud, somebody said it well. You are a master of your thoughts, but you are a servant of your words. Isn't that powerful? You're a master. Somebody pushes you, weren't you in church? Didn't you used to go to church? Yeah, well, how you doing? Well, you know. What are they going to say? They're going to justify it. The Bible says in verse 15, he that justifieth the wicked and condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination of the Lord. So if you're on the wrong side of things, you're going to start saying, oh yeah, Joe here, he's my buddy. We hang out down at Park Avenue and we're just enjoying time and this, that, and the other. Oh, look at that. That's that old preacher. I hated him, man. He was mean. He made me feel uncomfortable. It's interesting. You're justifying the wicked and you're condemning the just because you've made a decision at the crux of one of the biggest tests you're going to have, religious disappointments.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.